Radio.
All right, well, we're recording, so let's we'll start up.
Okay,
it
keeps going.
Wow.
Are you insane?
They are insane.
You're in the hands of an adolescent.
It is a cellular peptide cake.
But Matt Frosting.
It does like you.
Mr. Kim.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
How you doing, Mike?
Move along home.
I can see your face. You look like, what's happening?
I wanted to see where that was going to play out. I knew you picked a weird key. I was going to see when you hit that top note. Yeah, sure. Let's see where we go there.
I gave that as much energy.
This is what happens when
you
give DS9 fans beer.
Oh, we
year old beer.
A little Rock to Gino beer there. Oh, this is fabulous. Hello, everyone. Hello. Welcome to I Just Want to Talk About Star Trek. This is our Deep Space Nine, our second Deep Space Nine episode. Woo! Can you believe that? I'm here with my two good friends, Callie and Dave, our Deep Space Nine aficionados here because we had to talk about this.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah.
Specifically.
Not Dave.
Thank you for having me.
You are welcome, Dave.
I didn't want to say it on behalf of you because I have no right.
Yeah, I might not have been into it.
Exactly.
No, but you are.
No, I, of course I'm into it. I drove an hour to get here.
You drove an hour to get here.
Wait, an hour? What do you
Hollywood, it's an hour in this traffic.
What? Oh, God, I'm sorry. It's like 20 minutes from Burbank.
Yeah.
And that's still pretty far.
I know. I made these guys drive, like, it's in the middle of the day. Well, it's like 6 o'clock, you guys should. 7
I didn't
o'clock.
Even drive.
Did you Uber?
No, I had Abed take me.
You had Abed?
He's at Toys R Us right now. That's how I convinced him to take me.
I was hoping that he was still outside.
He said this is a really good Toys R Us near your house. So he's right now at a Toys R Us.
I know which one it is. It's kind of really kind of like a ghetto-y kind of one.
I guess they have good things. Like last time he's like, I was eyeing some Gremlins they got there. Like, no. It was Gremlins and what was the fucking Jim Henson movie from the 80s.
Jim Henson movie?
Dark Crystal.
Crystal. Dark
yeah, and
Crystal.
He's like, I think I'm going to get it this time.
Oh, gosh. Why didn't Abed come in? I don't understand. This is the
second
time.
Because he's like, I wasn't invited. I don't want to just, like, you know.
Abed is always invited. I don't.
Well, now I'll tell him he's always. Just so you know, if you tell Abed he's always invited.
He is not always invited. That is kind of like a Gremlins kind of thing.
He will be on every. But you probably should have him on to a Star Trek. Oh, like, I mean, he's a big DS9 and Voyager fan, too.
So. Well, I had him on before to talk about something. I can't remember what it was.
Oh, you did?
My second episode.
Oh, yeah. He was on here.
Yeah, to talk about,
I forgot about that.
I think you talked about the pilot.
Yeah.
Of original series.
I think I did. Yeah, okay. I made, like, a weird analogy between him and,
he's having fun at Toys R Us.
Like, Danny Pudi.
Yeah, he's good for at least 3 hours.
No, I know. He'll be fine there. So, and that place is really great because that Toys R Us. They're missing the T. The T is burned out, so it says Oys R Us, which has like this weird kind of like
Jewishy,
like a Jewishy kind of thing, which is really cool. Anyway, welcome. Welcome. Thank you so much. This is a lot of fun. Why did I bring these two good friends from the Beta and Alpha quadrants over here to talk about an episode?
Wait, which one am I from, the Alpha or the Beta?
I don't know which one you want to be from. Well, let's see. You're
Beta.
You're from the Beta quadrant. Because
I'm a Constable Odo.
All right, well, you want to be... Well, let's see. You can be from the Delta quadrant if you want.
No, that's like the Hillbilly quadrant.
Right? Well, that's true. That's the Delta is Voyager. Gamma is Deep Space Nine.
I'll be an Alpha boy. That's cool.
You can be Alpha. Alpha's great.
It's like half the Klingons and then all the Federation.
I think maybe, because we're in the Valley, kind of has to be the Beta quadrant, right? Because, like, no one knows what the hell's going on here.
It's
no
a
one
big
really
cesspool.
It is. It's filled with Klingons and Romulans and Gorn and Tholians and all sorts of, you know.
What would you classify yourself as, then?
Oh, me? Yeah. Oh, gosh, I don't know. Maybe like a Tholian, because I just, Tholian. You know.
That's Beta.
I'm not 100% sure. All I know is, like, the Alpha Quadrant, is, like, from what I understand from the maps, is primarily divided into, like, the Federation. Then the Beta Quadrant was more like Klingon-Romulan space.
Yeah. Well, then are the Cardassians Alpha? Because they're on, like, the
They're in the Alpha,
left,
yeah.
So. The
yeah, because they're right near Deep Space Nine.
And then the Ferengi are in there, too. And then the Tholians also, I think.
Yeah, I could be wrong in this. But I know, I always remember looking at the Beta Quadrant. It was not very... it was like not very Federation-y. It was kind of like it's explored but not.
When the Klingons, used, I think, split in the, they're like half Alpha, half Beta.
We need a star chart.
We do need. I need to get a star chart.
Yeah. Good. Like I, on the ceiling.
Put on my wall here. Yeah, I know. All right, well, be that as it may, we are in a quadrant. I brought these guys over. They're drinking beers because last time we talked, we were talking, we kind of did this overview. And if you haven't listened to it, it's a great episode. It's one of our more popular
episodes.
Yeah, it's like one of like, top five.
Pat myself on the back.
You should. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, people like that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
wow.
I assume that'd be so boring to anyone that doesn't like. Well, I guess that's your fan base.
Well, no, I think people were drawn in because people are fans of Deep Space Nine.
Nice.
And I really kind of gravitate towards TOS and TNG a lot more than, you know. And then I like Deep Space Nine.
That's totally fine.
I kind of fall off a little bit on Voyager, and then Enterprise
is
the beta
quadrant. We're working on that. We want to hop back on to Voyager.
I know. It's gonna be difficult. You guys are going to have to work hard. There's going to be a lot of effort. But as we were talking about the good and the bad of Deep Space Nine as an overview, and one of the ones we mentioned was Move Along Home. And I remember that as being bad, and I constantly refer that as being a bad episode. And people say, oh, Deep Space Nine's good or bad. I say, oh, you haven't seen Move Along Home. But then I thought to myself, have I actually watched that? Have I actually watched it the last 25 years?
Right.
And I didn't. So I went and I watched it. And then I immediately texted you guys and said, we have to talk about this. We have to talk about it. Yep. Because I have some interesting thoughts about it. And you guys have both watched it again,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yep, twice.
In your whole life?
No, four times in my life now.
Now, let's put that to the test. All right, we're in Second Shap. And right. let's do the chant. Are we ready? Okay. Here we go. Alan Moraine, count to four. Alan Moraine, then three more. Alan Moraine, if you can see, Alan Moraine, you'll come with me. All right, so we're not, we didn't watch it very thoroughly, but that's okay. There's also a little beer going through their system. It's all right. We are as much aficionados of this as we can be, all right? But I wanted to talk about it because, gosh, I hadn't seen it in a long time, and there's so much to dig into this episode as far as the good and the bad. I didn't hate it as much as I thought I would off the bat. I really didn't. I was like, oh, I'm kind of getting into this.
You like the opening of them of Sisko talking about his dress uniform?
Jake
walks in, whoa, dress uniform?
Yeah, no, he's like, that's how everyone's wearing baggy lately.
Oh, yeah.
Very, yeah, you know, no, early 90s.
Jake likes girls.
No,
talk.
No, I can't. Let me dial that back. I didn't like that. That was terrible. That was not very good. No, I... That B story. Now, first of all, that B story doesn't go anywhere.
Oh, no, yeah, it just peters out and you forget about it.
The whole birds and the bee thing completely dies off.
All it is the next scene. Jake asks Odo where his dad is. And that's
right, right. They're like, yep. You know,
I'm supposed to talk about this.
Then the B story is just Odo being cool, and yelling at Quark.
Yelling at Quark and yelling at mysterious other Starfleet personnel.
I can watch him yell at people all day.
Yeah, well, he did. He yelled at people ineffectually all this episode. But. There was some interesting things I saw in it, and so I thought we had to talk about it. So let's get into it. Let's talk about it. So give me a little bit of your overview, Callie.
Well, like, the overview, like the mission statement, if I had to say like a log line for this episode, I'd say it's the best worst episode.
The best worst episode. So
yeah, that could be true.
It's so out there. It's so tacky and outrageous.
It's so not good that it's mind-bogglingly amazing.
Did you guys think it kind of feels like a like an original series episode, almost like that
totally. It totally. Even the aliens feel like original series.
And just the whole the scenario of the game. It's just like, oh,
and that's
okay.
Why I kind of digged it.
It's like a throwback.
Like, oh, yeah. It totally is a throwback. That
I was like,
is a throwback.
Oh, man,
episode.
I'm kind of getting this.
It's
know?
Not a Deep Space Nine episode at all. That's like I think number one, the first thing you notice about it.
Yeah, it's well, and again, this was the 10th episode. So to give you guys a little bit of, if you haven't seen it, you know, just go and watch it right now because whatever, you're going to be like, I don't know what I'm listening to. But it's the 10th episode of the first season. So they didn't know what these were talking about.
It's rocky as fuck.
It's really, yeah.
Nobody really has a character yet.
Yeah,
except
everyone's
for,
personality is like, just like them being bizarre.
Quirk is really the only character developed in the show at this point.
No, see, what's and interesting, maybe Odo. Odo actually gets more developed throughout the episode.
Throughout the episode.
Well, yeah, he figures out his character as he goes.
Yeah,
it's
no,
like
it's
run and
amazing.
Gun.
At the beginning of the episode, episode, he doesn't have his normal gruffy voice, and then, like, two lines later, it's starting to get gruffier, and then, like, a few minutes later, he's, like, become full-on Odo.
They're like, Jadzia and Bashir are so, and Kira are so bland in this episode, but they're, like, it reminded me of the thing that they don't do anymore, that they did in the early years, where I like how Sisko thinks Bashir's a douche, and he always is kind of, like, bringing it up, and it's... Like when he doesn't have his uniform, is like,
yeah, he gives him a hard.
No, this is the real deal, man. Yeah. He's like, this isn't a rehearsal. This is a real. Like,
I had to write something down because there's something Kira said that fucking made me laugh so hard, even though it's dumb. Like when they're inside the game, which obviously we're jumping ahead, but like she's like, I don't know about you Starfleet people. You guys just go prodding around doing things.
Like, I'm a Bajoran
administrative officer.
Oh
this
yeah,
is
yeah.
Not what I signed up for. I'm like. You know, people should just go around all day talking like that. Like,
yeah,
I'm a
cartoonist.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
I did not sign up for this.
Exactly. Exactly. I know. I remember that, and that was I think that was like the first and last time she ever like copped to being a paper pusher, right? Because she's such a badass in the. And someone like, oh, well, she's an administrator. Like, no, she's not.
Well, you know, she's got that hard backstory. She wants to chill out, I think, is her thing.
Yeah, well, but like...
I feel like they throw that away pretty fast.
They do. Well,
Yeah,
because then she becomes their go-to, like, tough guy, especially till Worf gets there.
Right, exactly. Yeah, like, well, she was... I mean, even when they were casting, they were looking for kind of a Michelle Forbes kind of, you know, Ensign Rowe.
Right. That's who they wanted.
So that's...
Right.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly who they wanted, and they didn't get. So they got...
Why didn't they get her?
Because she didn't want to do it.
Wow.
It's like she turned that down. I'm pretty sure she turned down Voyager as well. So I think they just kept on offering her series regulars, and she's like, nope.
She was great.
Although, I'm glad she was on Voyager.
Well, we'll talk about that for later. We'll talk about that.
Put that out there.
So, to catch you up, this is an episode, 10th episode of the first season, where it's a first contact situation, which is not necessarily true because they've already had contact with the Vulcans, I believe. Is
right.
that and so? But the Wadi, terrible name. I mean, first let's just go. We have the Wadi show up.
Can we describe their outfit? So they're I like to call lazy art department. Which is, they don't have anything on them other than some badly painted cheetah tattoos that are purple.
They've got ponytails on the top of their
I mean, that's not a... See, that's the thing. I don't... If it's, like, aesthetic thing, I don't count that as, like, that's not your race. You have a ponytail. They're just humans with purple tattoos on their forehead.
Exactly. These Wadi show up. And the only thing I did notice in the second viewing is that they're all really tall. Like, if you watch, they're all, like, uncomfortably tall. Like, the men and women... Because they all just kind of roll in, and they're all, like, at least, like, 5'10 or above. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you're right. They're all just, like, in these white kind of weird kimono robes.
Yeah, it's...
Kind of metallic, too.
Like, yeah, kind of, like, silver metallic.
Which
weird.
Is almost reminiscent of the original series, design-wise.
A little bit, but you're right. It is a little sloppy. It's like, we just put them in these things and put little bumps on their foreheads. But the Wadi show up. And rather than going through the pleasantries of first contact, again, it's not first contact, it's sort of like first diplomatic relations, they just want to play games. Like, where are the games? Where are the games? You know?
Yeah.
And so they go to Quark's bar, where they start playing Dabo, and they're intrigued by a little bit until Quark starts cheating, because they're winning too much.
You forget the scene where they offer what they have.
He wasn't interested in it at all.
I love when he's like, first he pulls out, he's like, what do you have to wager? He has a box of sticks.
Yep.
And the sexual innuendo is great when he picks up the stick and he's like, they have many uses.
Oh, wow. I didn't
catch
that.
It's just a box of sticks. And then he pulls out, then he gives Quark some juice that Quark tries and
Alpha
hates.
Current Nectar, I believe is what it was called. Yes.
And then... And
Clon Piegs and Alpha Current Nectar. Go ahead.
And then at the end they just bust out a bag of gems that they act like that's their worthless thing. And Quark's like,
Yeah.
And they're like the cheesiest looking gems too. They are like from that, you know, novelty story. It's like, you know, $1 for a bag of gems. And as a kid, you shove them all in there. It's like, whoa, look at this.
They're completely terrible.
They're terrible. But Quark buys into it. He's like, all right, so let's play. So they're playing Dabo and they're winning like crazy until Quark like has one of his Dabo girls like press the special cheating button very overtly, and they instantly pick it up. And so they challenge him to a game of Chula. I believe it's Chula or Kula. I think it's Chula. It sounds like Chula Vista. I'm going to say it's Chula Vista. Yeah. It's a game of Chula Vista down in San Diego. which is this strange erector set kind of game.
That just appears.
It just appears.
I mean, like, they just, like, beam it in.
Big, and awkward thing, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, it's not
like an upside-down pyramid with...
Yeah. Who wants to play Chula? Oh, dude, that takes so long to set up, man.
Oh, and then in the background, while they're playing this Chula, they start to play, everyone's just, with their little sticks, going click-clack.
Yes.
In sync, by the way, which is very upsetting.
No, it's great. When Chula starts, everyone wants their sticks. They're like, oh, Chula.
Oh, God. I just wanted them to do it.
I know, these little pixie sticks they have, which that's so weird. So they get Quark, like, his punishment is to play Chula, which is this strange game which has levels, or shaps, as we will call them.
Yes.
Now, who plays Shap 1?
Only children,
yes. So they try Shap 2, yeah. I mean, come on, you know. Because Fallow, who is our lead, Fallow, again, the Wadi and the Fallow, terrible names. They just...
I love that Quark's like, well, why can't I start on Shap 1?
Yeah.
Like, nah. What are you, a little boy?
Yeah. So they play the game, and then our erstwhile command crew disappear, and they're placed in the game, and they have to escape, and Quark basically has to, like, play the game. Although, really, he doesn't have a lot of control.
Well, he also, at first, he doesn't realize that he's playing with people.
Yeah. Right, right.
So they just do all these things without them. I want to point out how I was very upset by the fact that, like, I think Sisko was in bed in his pajamas when he got teleported in. So he got teleported in, which I still don't know the logistics of that's beaming him to a location, because they didn't really explain that, because they said he wasn't on the station. But I think
they went to their ship.
Yeah, but then remember when Odo went to the ship and he went through the door, it just took him back to the station. Right. Anyway, but beyond that, okay, he gets teleported into the game with his outfit on, and he has a tricorder, and everyone's got their tricorders.
And he's wearing his command outfit again.
Yeah, and Bashir also has his outfit, and then he also has a tricorder, and is being woken up from a nightmare, which I would like to do my impression of.
A standing nightmare,
That's how everyone finds each other.
That's how people wake up from nightmares.
Right. Well, that's how people from someone who is standing asleep in his full outfit. Yeah,
we're getting to one of my favorite moments, which is go ahead.
No, I want to give a kind of overview of this. I want to give an overview of this, and then we're going to come back to it. Okay. So this is just my little command. So they go through a series of games, which we will cover in depth. Mm-hmm. And as they go through, Odo figures out that the command crew has been taken and placed in this game.
That's what I was getting at, is how stupid it is the way they... Odo... Because I love it. They're like, there's four of them missing.
Yeah.
And they look at the four game pieces. And that Odo and Quark immediately think the game pieces are... It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is a huge leap of logic for that.
Oh my God. I couldn't handle
it. So, rather than arrest these people for, like, kidnapping... They have them play the game. They have Quark play the game, the least reputable person, play the game. They go through Shap 2, 3, 4, and eventually they get to Shap 4, where one of them is supposed to be sacrificed. To save two. One of them, they all fall off a cliff in this weird world. They materialize back in Quark's bar, and the game is over. They lost. But it was just a game, and there were no consequences, and no one was going to die.
What do they call the Wadi?
The Wadi.
The Wadi. I like how they act like they're so stupid to think that they were in danger.
Yeah. It's like, because they're saying, like, well, if you sacrifice one, then they all will never come back. It's like, well, that's a pretty big threat. So there's no punishment to anyone, because Sisko wants to, like, you know, punch out Fallow, but then Odo reminds him that it was Quark who cheated. And so rather than punishing Quark decides that maybe Chula can be installed as a Dabo thing. He runs off, and that's the episode.
Yeah, he deflects and runs away.
And I think actually the Fallow actually get in their ship and leave.
Yeah.
And that's the last we ever see of them.
Yep.
And probably an okay thing, right?
Yeah, definitely.
That is in a nutshell what Move Along Home is. All right, so now we're going to...
Oh, which is like the goal of the game. So the name of the episode is the goal of the game. They're like, Move Along Home.
Yes.
Complete the game, I guess.
Which somehow these guys figure out in the middle of... Because Fallow keeps showing up.
Yeah.
In the middle, it's like, you know, ha-ha, Move Along Home, Captain. You know, it's like... And then he disappears. Like, what's he doing? Is he, like, really there? Or it's so weird.
Well, yeah, there's, no, like, the way that the Wadi are in the game, too, and it's the same ones.
Oh, yeah, like in the party scene?
Yeah, when they're all drinking the juice to avoid
and the gas.
Oh, right. All right, Now, hold on for a second. Hold on.
We just like doing things out of order.
Oh, and we are going to, because...
Yeah, I don't know where
we're look
at.
What I have here.
Oh!
I have some dice right here. You can hear them right now. Oh, we are going to play Choose Their Path, Double Their Peril, Double Your Winnings. So what's going to happen here is, this is the stupidest thing.
Are but we going to die?
We might. We might. This podcast might die.
I guess we'll find out at the
end. I have 10, I guess it's 10 or 9 topics, and you're going to roll the dice. And based upon that, you're going to talk about it, all right? So
I love this.
Now, you can choose, if you choose to... if I give you a topic and you don't want to talk about it, you can choose to pass to the person.
Okay.
But then, like, when the next one comes around, you have to talk about something double as hard.
Oh, God.
All right? I don't know what this means, all right? Like, all right, here we go.
Life.
Here we go.
What did I get?
You got an 8.
That's a high score, right?
Oh, and it's funny. It's funny that you got that, because that is the third chap. Third chap! Which is exactly what we're talking about. So the third chap is what?
Is that the one where they're in the party?
That's the party, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So, okay, it's weird. They're in a party, and everyone's laughing.
Yes.
And everyone's ignoring them, and then gas starts pouring in, and they got the drinks, and then Bashir's like, no, it could be poison, but then they're dying, and then so their laughing increases, and then Bashir's like, oh, wait, maybe drink the poison, maybe that's the cure. I don't know, I'm just guessing. I'm a doctor.
Right. So to give an overview, they're transported in this weird hexagonal place, which is sort of like a video game level. That's the one thing I kind of dug about this, is that Doom came out in 93 instead of Deep Space Nine. And so, like, you get that sort of level feeling where, like, doors open, you go to, like, a different room. It's like, oh, this is kind of cool. And they go in this party with all these Wadi who are, like, drinking, you know, these little flutes of liquid.
Laughing about what we don't know.
And laughing about something and just laughing at our crew. They won't answer their questions. Drinking, offering drinks, and then this gas starts pouring in.
And they're like, save us. Like, please help us. You're just going to watch us die? They're like, ha, that's so funny.
And they're trying to do. They're offering them drinks.
And they're offering them drinks.
I love how Cisco's like, no, don't drink that.
Yeah, he knocks it out of the way. And they're dying. They're dying of this poison gas. And then Bashir, with his intuitive sense, decides to drink it, right?
I mean, honestly, that should have been the first instinct. Like, they're all drinking it. It can't be poison.
Right. I mean, like, that's, you know, like, well, through empirical evidence, if they're all drinking it, then they should all be okay.
Yeah.
So they drink it, and then mysteriously they're all okay.
So that was a hard level, apparently.
That was, like, the hard one, wasn't it?
Right,
it was, like,
yeah.
That was like, oh.
Which is like, okay.
Oh, no, that I thought that was the easy one.
Oh, was that the easy one?
That was the easy one.
Oh, so that wasn't
easy. Not till Shep 4 that Shep 4. Hard.
So Quark is presented with the options of taking the short route or the long route. The short route has more danger.
And this has one of the only things I wanted to talk about that I love is Quark convincing Odo to trust him. And he says the best line, which is kind of proves that Odo's a fool for listening to Quark, where he's like, always trust a gambler. And it's the most ridiculous shit.
That's like the worst.
And Odo's kind of like,
all right. I have no choice.
And Quark does, I'm pretty sure he immediately loses, right? The skip along.
Oh, yeah. He gets like the bad move. Yeah.
Is that where Bashir?
Yeah, Bashir gets thrown to the bottom and then he gets zapped by a floating
cluster
ball.
Cluster of lights.
Yeah, light. With little balls.
All right, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Sorry,
all right. Do we have any additional thoughts about the third chap?
No.
All right, that's all right. All right, it's up to you now, Dave.
Oh, God. 6.
You got a 6. Okay, you get to talk about the performance of Fallow.
The main guy?
Yeah, main guy.
Oh, God.
Choose their path, double their peril, double your winnings.
He's a weird guy because it's almost like he's trying to be... He's trying to intimidate Quark the whole time.
Yeah.
He's kind of trying to be it's weird. I wonder if that's just their personality. Because at the end when
they're all just dicks.
Yeah, because at the end they're like, what are you guys doing?
It's a race.
They're the dick waddies, aren't they?
Yeah, you think they're dicks, but then the way they act at the end, it's like, oh, maybe that they're not trying to be dicks, that's just how they are. Because they're like, what? It's a game, fools.
Yeah,
but
like
the way that he intimidates Quark into playing the game, it's weird. They're definitely malevolent.
Yeah.
Because it's like the whole, like, why else, why do they scarily push Quark into the corner, and they're like, "Oh, we have something for you." And
yeah,
it's a game.
I know.
But I mean, he's—I don't know what to say about it. He's very over the top and weird. And
very over the top. Yeah,
and kind of.
And I mean, I'll say he's a pervert too from that whole stick thing at the beginning.
Well, this is true. He's a pervert. He shows up everywhere.
He's the only one not playing with the stick.
He's the only one, but he's like trying to sell him on him. He's like,
yeah, yeah. Well, he's got everyone else hooked on him. He's like the dealer, right? He's a dealer of like these, like, you know, narcotic sticks.
Maybe they're drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we're missing something. That might be where it's at.
His performance, and we talked about this a little bit like off air, was similar to Michael McKean's in Voyager's episode of Thaw. And
that.
A lot of like Batman, like 60s Batman and Star Trek characters, like where they're just bouncing off the walls, chewing up the scenery, right?
Yeah.
And he almost gets there and then he kind of pulls back. Like, have he been like really batshit crazy? And he's like, move along home! And like a Ringling Brothers kind of guy?
Yeah, it didn't really go, it didn't get pushed as much as I would have liked. Like how you were saying,
yeah,
like, the Michael McKean.
He's going big, but not big enough that it's like makes an impact.
Yeah.
He was like, move along home! It's like, all right.
Yeah,
okay.
It's a little coy, a little fey on it. It's just kind of like,
yeah.
The actor is Joel Brooks, who is still alive and still.
I've seen him in a ton of stuff.
He's done a ton of stuff, and actually, I reached out to him. I tried to get a hold of him.
Oh,
really?
Oh,
wow!
Because we both did an episode of Casey Undercover on the Disney Channel recently,
aww.
So I thought, oh, kindred spirit. But he has not gotten back to me on his website. So
he hates you.
He
he'll
hates
get,
me.
He'll get him.
And I'm only on the first chap as far as he's concerned. if we can ever get in touch with him, we need to talk to him a lot about this because I need to know everything.
Oh,
about
that reminds me. This should have been an off-air thing, but I know a girl, or I'm friends with a guy who used to date a girl who her dad was on an episode of Deep Space Nine. He was a random alien.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, and he was like a main character in that
get
episode.
Him in.
Yeah, no, I'll tell you after.
First of all, there's a lot of distance from that. I know a guy who dated a girl,
but I know
whose
her well
was...
enough I could probably tell her, because her dad was like the 80s dad, like he was in a bunch of movies. I'm like,
oh, okay.
Fucking
yeah, then we need to get him, yeah. I keep forgetting. Oh, I need to remind myself, and if you're listening to the podcast, Twitter me or tweet me at Mike McCafferty that I have a contact with the assistant director for the original series. He was the assistant director like 20 episodes or something like that, and I want to get some inside dirt.
Cool.
Again, it's one of those things. So anyway, yay. So all right, that's all housekeeping. I'm at Mike McCafferty on Twitter. Dave, what are you at, Dave?
On Twitter? I don't really use it.
Well, then how can people get in touch with you, man?
About what?
I don't know. Well, forget it. All right. Callie, pitch your stuff. So Callie is a great artist. She's a great... This is our little interstitial commercial right now. And
should we have music?
No, we don't have a time for that. Maybe I'll put some music in. I don't know. This is a one-man operation.
Just play the Deep Space Nine theme song for the whole thing.
Right, yeah.
On repeat.
As loud as we can. Knocking us out. It was an hour and a half of Deep Space Nine.
I'm at Callie Kazoo, which is KaliKazoo. So like a kazoo, but Callie. But am I allowed to plug something right now?
Yes, of course.
I mean, this seems appropriate because we're talking about Twitter. I actually made some Star Trek Valentine's Day cards, specifically TNG fans, Captain Picard cards.
Oh.
So Valentine's Day Picards. And so you can buy a set of them, and the set comes with four, and there's four unique designs of pinup style cards, and then one Wesley thrown in. And they come with envelopes, and they actually, I'm about to get the stickers in the mail, they come with little Picard stickers to seal the envelopes with, and little heart stickers.
Oh, that's so great.
But I only made like 18, 20 sets, although I already... took some of them off, and some of them have been selling, so go to my Twitter and find out how to buy them. But they're on my Etsy.
Okay, that's all right.
Just go to my Twitter. I have
go to her Twitter, and you'll send me a picture of them, and I'll put them on the...
Oh, cool,
Twitter as well. Yeah, that'll be great.
Sexy Picard.
I guess I could plug Channel 101.
No, don't do
Channel
that.
They've been plugged enough. They've been plugged enough.
You were 2016, unplugged. Dave.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
It's still going.
not in my mind. No.
It's been dead for me for like how many years? Three?
All right, we need to talk about that. That's fine. This is only Star Trek. I'm going
to
roll.
Listen to him.
Hey, I only want to talk about Star Trek.
Yes.
Right?
I rolled a 7, and I'm going to talk about the second chap.
Oh.
Alla Moraine, count to four, Alla Moraine. Now, we've talked about this a lot.
Alla Moraine.
Now, Alla Moraine isn't... I thought that was like a real word, but it's not. It's just some weird thing they made up. It's so crazy. So, the second chap, you know, is like sort of their first real puzzle, where they go in this weird room, and there's this girl... named Chandra, and she's actually one of the things. I'll cut her out. But Chandra is one of the, and she's doing this hopscotch nonsense and repeating this over and over again. And they can't talk to her. And when they try to cross the room, there's a force field which sort of hurts them. It's like a little taser.
Yeah.
And then, somehow they figure out that she's hopscotching through the barrier. So they try to do it.
Yeah, so Bashir first figures out, like, oh, you just do what she's doing. So he does it, but he doesn't say Al-Moraine.
He doesn't say the words. He
doesn't say Al-Moraine.
And he gets buzzed.
And then it's Jadzia who figures out that you have to do the whole thing.
She does it very clinically.
Yes, and so they all... Before
she has any personality.
Now, if there is a failing point of this episode, it was right here. We talked about this a little bit off air, where that when they finally make that determination to like... do the Al-Moraine count to four, none of the actors are on board. We see that meta moment where every single one of them are thinking back and saying, I just signed a contract for 7 years of Deep Space Nine, and it could be every other episode hopscotching, and they were all, none of them sold it. Am I right about that? Was there anybody?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, well, fucking Captain Sisko made me laugh harder than I'd ever laugh.
How bad it is.
Al-Moraine.
Well, like,
well, he's the most in tune. Well, I gotta say that.
We were saying Major Kira is the only one that's kind of selling it because that's already the character she's playing is annoyed.
Yeah, yeah, she's pissed. Yeah, so she's got that. But that's just Nana Visitor. That's just like, she's so irritated.
Yeah, right, I would say Jadzia and Bashir being the most bland, which later on they're not as bland, but they're pretty freaking bland.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and those characters are so undefined in this episode, anyways. Yeah. They could just be doing
most
anything.
Of the first season. It's tough for them.
Yeah, I mean, like we talked before a little bit about how, like, you know. There's these weird, like, it seems like Bashir flirts with Kira a little bit in this one, and...
Well, he had a thing where he was flirting with both of them heavily.
Right.
Yeah.
More Jadzia, but he flirts with Kira often.
It was a tiny bit, like, you could see, like, the actor making the choice of, like, maybe I'll try this, you know? Like, and, like, you know, because, like, I've done that before when I've been on a show. It's like, I'm going to do this because maybe it'll get me more episodes or something. Like, maybe it'll spark something, like, where you go beyond what's written and do something.
Right.
And I could see them all feeling that out in this episode. It was like, I don't know what the hell's going on here. I'm just going to do something. So, anything else on Second Chap? No.
I do like watching the bounce up and down. Saying Al-Moraine.
That is the quintessential moment you think about when you say move along home. That guy saying move along home is them doing the hopscotch.
Yeah.
And I think when I first saw it, like, you know, many years ago, like when I first saw it, I was like, oh boy, I do not know what I'm watching here at Deep Space Nine anymore. In fact, I think it was Ron Moore or Berman? I think it was Berman.
Hmm.
He said when he was watching the episodes as he was getting ready to come on board to Deep Space Nine, he said, I remember watching Move Along Home and wondering if everyone had lost their minds. And you know it was that moment where they're all dancing. It was so great. So great.
Pretty good.
All right. Up to you, Callie. Let's tackle some of these.
Whoa.
Get five. Oh, okay. You get to talk about George Primman.
George Primman.
Wait,
who's George Primman?
George Primman.
Sounds familiar.
Hello, Constable Odo.
Oh, God. Does this character just immediately die? Like, we never see him again, right?
No, we do not see him again. So,
like, this guy, he was the guy he's... Okay, so basically, he's on the bridge.
Yes.
This is after all the other characters, okay. all the you know, the head officers.
I actually liked this scene.
So Odo is, like, starting to investigate, like, what the fuck's going on? Because Jake, little Jake Sisko, he's back when he was really little, he's like... You see my dad?
Yeah.
We're supposed to have a talk about sex today. I know. Come on.
I'm really looking forward to
and
that.
And then Odo's like, oh, he's not on the station. He's like, I'm going to go up to the bridge. And the security officer is like, oh, Constable Odo. And he's like, don't call me that. Shut up, you fuckwad. Did you notice you lost your captain? He's like, what are you talking about? They were up really late last night. And Odo's like, fuck you fucking idiot. Look on the ship sensor. They're not on the ship, you dumb lad. Fuck you. I'm going away. I love Odo.
Callie has a lot of hardcore thoughts about this character.
Well, this guy is an idiot. But it was great fuel for Odo to shine.
It was. We got our dice roll out of that. I got to be honest. Callie was loaded for bear on that. Do you remember this guy now?
I do now. Yeah, it took me. I couldn't remember him by the name, but yeah.
Yes. He popped up. I'm like, oh my god, look at that guy.
Well, they're really. You can tell they're kind of trying him out. They're like, yeah. Well, this guy working. He does.
Nope. Security officer, fuck one.
Yeah, this.
They had no security. Like besides Oda, they had no Federation guy for forever.
They'll just have quiet people.
Yeah. Well, he was on an episode before. He's on The Passengers.
Oh, like, really?
Yeah, he was on an episode before, and I know. Everyone's like, huh? And evidently, what happened was Colmini was off shooting a movie at the time, and so they needed some sort of Starfleet presence since they took away all of their lead characters.
God, I hope he's not listening right now. We're just making fun of him. I'm so sorry, guy who had no personality.
No, I don't think it's his fault. I mean, certainly, his read was like, hello, Constable Odo. Like, again, you talk about trying to imbue a character in as little time as you can. No. That guy got everything he could out of that single line.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You see it on a page, hello, Constable Odo. Man, that guy made a meal out of it. He was like, hello, Constable Odo. Like, wow. I was like, my eyes popped because he was like, that guy is acting.
Well, I feel like that guy is what inspired Odo or Rene Auberjonois to suddenly start to be Odo and be like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah, right.
What if that inspired Odo?
He certainly pissed him off.
You could tell that guy thought he might be around a little longer.
He was hoping. he was really hoping, yeah.
He was a little cocksure.
He was trying to get comfortable. Like, he's like, oh, I got a second episode. This is so great. He was also seen in The Next Generation. He had an episode of Next Generation. I think it was Brothers, I think. So he'd been in the Star Trek family a little bit. But yeah, he came in hard and he left quietly, unfortunately. he did not move along home.
Nope.
But fun to watch him pop up and maybe define your favorite character.
Yeah, no. I just like anything that's in Odo's way.
Yes, and he was because again, he was the worst security guard, security head you could have because his four most important people on the ship were gone.
Yeah, no, I mean, as far as security is concerned, that's like probably the worst security officer we've ever seen in any Star Trek.
And can we just go and kind of ping this a little bit and say, you know, in Star Trek, the computers are also very fickle and very prissy because unless you ask specifically, they won't tell you if someone has been abducted off a ship. It's like, where is Captain Sisko? Captain Sisko is not on the ship.
Yeah, they do that on Next Gen all the time.
All the time,
it's always a surprise.
Because like, Odo's like, where's
Captain Picard is not on the ship.
Yeah, it's like, where is Sisko? He's not on the ship. What ship did he leave on? He did not leave on any ship. Oh, computer, whenever that happens, make sure you let us know, okay? Because that means that he's been teleported someplace.
Set up a system where you have to log that you're leaving from the station.
I have, on my iPhone, my Find My Friends, I can get an alert when someone leaves or arrives.
What happened to their GPS?
I know. Everyone should have GPS.
They just have some 21st century technology.
Like computer, Captain leaves ship, then alert crew. You know, if not, go to jail.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be everybody, but Captain. Maybe the top five guys.
Yeah. It could be bad in a stalkery situation. Like, say there was a guy, stalking Major or something.
Well,
I wouldn't want some creepy guy who's just an underling.
Maybe not everyone should.
None of his business.
Maybe everybody should.
I can leave the ship whenever
access.
I want to. You don't own me.
At least officers should be able to do that.
I just hate this guy. We don't need another,
white
guy.
All right, we have moved on from that shaft. Callie has closed the book on George Primman. All right. Roll those dice and see what we got here. What do you get?
Six again.
A six?
We can't
all right, so.
Talk about that.
You're a six man.
I will go down then because I have a pattern for this. So we'll go down.
Nice.
Let's talk about the Thialo, whatever that is. Remember that? Remember when he's supposed to roll? So Quark's like, I've got this. And then he rolls, and then that's when those weird lights show up.
is this when he screws up on his trying to skip ahead?
Yes, when he tries to skip ahead.
And we lose Bashir.
Yeah.
So this is when he's rolling before he loses Bashir?
Yeah, but you can talk about that, but what happens in that one. So this is like the fourth or fifth chap, I think, whatever this is.
Well, we already kind
of
did. This
was
is
that
where
the thing of light?
No, it's the lights. It's the lights that come and get Bashir.
Right.
Did we talk about that or no?
Yeah,
did we? We mentioned it.
We said, yeah, I mean, other than that they're just a group of lights.
Although we do see Odo, or no, Quark is like, why is it down there now? And it's been knocked over.
Yeah.
He's like,
right, they kind of set it on
the
side.
Well, he's back to second Shap.
Yeah. Did he go to second Shap? Is that what happened?
Yeah, they said something like that, didn't they?
Yeah, I think that I don't know if we see it because they don't show us because they want it to see him. Though.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he might be actually dead.
He's got to do more hopscotch and he's got to catch up.
I like how the lights kind of hunted down Bashir though, because it comes in, it sees Bashir, then it looks at Kira, looks at Jadzia, and then it's like, nope. Bashir.
Yeah. But why? I don't understand
and
why.
Yeah, and then, yeah, you get the, what's the main guy's name? Wadi?
Fallow.
Fallow takes Bashir's piece and
tips it over. Yeah.
It's a big step where he brings him all the way down.
Yeah.
All the way down, dramatic. Tips him over, and Odo gets upset, but again, doesn't do anything. He's just like,
Odo's really, I mean, that is the, Odo's very out of his element.
Also,
he can't do anything, so he's dependent on
Korra. I don't blame Odo.
No,
like,
it's not.
It's an abstract concept. They don't exactly know where they are and what
and
the game is.
And he's forced to rely on Quark.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to play games.
I know, but I mean, couldn't they call for some sort of backup, some sort of like technical, like, you know, get another science officer here to be like especially when he beams on board like their ship. And then, like, he gets transported back and be like, put a tractor beam on that ship, shut it down, and let's go get our
crew. I feel like if this was next gen, there would have been a science team around that game.
Yeah.
Studying it instead of Odo just being like, all
right. Right.
Quark, what do you got?
It's
almost like that, though.
Well,
it's more action.
It's more fun, but it.
It's more fun, and it becomes more of like almost a fantasy setting where science doesn't necessarily save the day.
Well, that's definitely, that would describe Deep Space Nine.
Right. And that's because in Next Generation, science saved the day every single time.
Oh, yeah.
In this, like, I think they were trying to go for it, and I think their problem was that they didn't have logic backing this up either.
No.
It was like, it was just like, oh, sure. Why? Because, you know?
Yeah, no, it's a little more faith-based. I would say.
Yeah, well, it wasn't. It was faith, but this was so based on randomness. It really was a dice roll. It was just like, well, why? Because I rolled this, you know.
Well, I mean, DS9 is the supernatural show of the Star Trek.
Oh, definitely.
It is the most supernatural, yes, because it has a mythology built in right from the beginning with the prophets. The wormhole aliens.
And the Sisko.
And the Sisko. And I mean, Sisko. You are the Sisko. All right, I'm gonna roll. Let's see what I get. 5, so I'm going to move up from that to...
What Shap?
We've gone past the Shaps. We're all done with Shaps, pretty much. Oh, no.
Did we ever do the first Shap?
Well,
there is no first Shap.
Children.
Yeah,
that's
children.
When they enter, and Bashir's like, ah!
Let's talk a little bit. So, I got this bad one here, but let's talk about it. This is the fourth Shap. I got the fourth Shap, so...
Okay.
That's the one.
Rocks falling.
That's the one. Yeah.
This is where Jadzia gets hurt.
Yeah.
Her leg gets broken,
and she tries to get them to leave her.
You can't get hurt in this game, so she definitely was hurt.
She was hurt.
She had the illusion at least of being hurt.
Right.
We don't know if they were really in the game or if they were beamed somewhere and like in stasis while their brains were in the game.
That's a shitty place to be if you could feel like you're hurt.
Yeah.
So this one, like, this is probably where the episode really kind of just gets into kind of really shitty land, where it's just, like, they basically kind of say, okay, so you're going to have to sacrifice one to save two, this is the first Shap.
Oh, we get Quark's great whiny speech about,
please
make me choose.
That's a whole other dice roll.
Then
talk about it.
You barreled into it. That's
all right, you go with it. All right, so.
That's Quark. Well, I mean, Quark losing his mind, thinking that he's going to have to choose one of them to die.
Oh.
And a great, great Armin Shimmerman performance there.
Is it, though?
Well, the way she's an Odo apologist, I'm a Quark apologist. So I love anything Quark does.
Pretty much
across the board.
I've worked with Armin, you know, and I love him. He's a great guy. But I watched that and I was like, wow, this was just so over the top.
I don't know if it's his fault though. I feel like maybe the director's egging him on because why? Like,
yeah, no. I mean, as far as we knew about that character at that point.
So in this scene,
he thinks someone's gonna die, so
right? And so he's
getting really upset. And we know
begs.
He's a coward. I mean,
yeah,
he does the little Ferengi.
Oh, I love their.
He puts his hands together like they're zip tied together.
And the curled fingers,
and he says, please, like 85 times,
and a very like kind of raspy, harsh tone.
Like, where it's really annoying.
Well, and I mean, he's showing that he is he's lost any.
But is that earned? Like, I guess that my question is, like, is that moment earned in the scene? like, I could, you know what I'm saying? Because like here's the thing. Like, if this was like a seventh season thing, right, where it's like, I care about these characters, yeah, right? Now, I get that, like, Oda or Quark was, like, basically putting on an act, right? Yeah. But it was so, I guess, I mean, it's, I'll give it a pass because I know you know, you're on board with it. But
it fits, I mean, it's the start of a thing that they'll do throughout the series because he whines like that a lot.
He does.
And yeah, it's kind of just that he has no shame when his back's against the right wall. And we're just, I think this actually might be the first time we really see him flip out like that.
So he was testing the waters. He figured out better ways to do it.
I think this was, it was like a shakedown cruise for Armin Shimmer to figure out how far he could go.
Yeah.
And that felt like that was too far. Like that was,
yeah.
You guys are like, no, I don't think so. No, I'm
going
to give you earphones. Yeah. I'm going to have you listen to that like 3 times in a row and you'll tell me if you agree. All right.
Okay, and then we'll give you earphones and you're just listening to Hollow Marine.
I'm almost digging it now. I'm almost on board with it. You know?
I like it more talking about it than watching it.
Yeah, exactly. we can dig into this and it's fine, but when we actually have to watch it, like, please, like, oh my goodness.
I don't know. I like your rendition of it.
Yeah,
too.
I that's actually kind of sound like it.
I know. I watched that whole thing. I was like, wow.
I love it.
But Armin Shimmer's a really great actor. I think it was him just trying to figure out like what's too much and what's not enough, and maybe he did get pushed by the director.
That's why Quark's so great. He's just more Odo feel.
Oh yeah, they're.
Well, this is true.
They
this
have
is true.
Some of the best dialogue in the series is scenes with those two.
Yeah.
I love it.
Well, yeah, they turn out to be probably the best duo of all. Without a doubt. All right, so we're just let's just wrap up a couple of these because we're almost done. Oh well, let's go back to the four Shap.
Because we want to.
The boring Shap. The one that I always doze off during.
Well, they have these really cool sets where there's in this weird like hexagonal set with the doors that open and close, which is great. And then for this fourth Shap, they get like transported to this really shitty looking like outcropping of rocks,
which I'm pretty sure they've used a ton of times.
Oh yeah,
it's
that,
Planet
that,
Hell.
That cliff edge is.
It's yeah. It's their soundstage.
Pretty sure from Next Gen.
And they definitely use it in Voyager.
Yeah.
They're stuck on that planet.
A bunch of times.
Season 2.
Yeah, when they get stranded by the Kazons.
Yeah. Sure they use
So Jadzia gets her leg hurt, and so you think, oh, this is where she's going to get stuck. But no, they grab her and they take her along.
Oh, because she's saying, if I, you know, like, you're making, you got to make harsh command decisions. You can't be,
she's quoting regulations, too. She's like, when there's a situation where you can save more, it's like basically the needs of the many broken down.
It's also the opposite of her character in the future. Yeah. But, like, he's like, oh, well, thankfully, I'm not the one hurt. And he picks her up and he's like, you're going to come along anyway.
Come on, old man.
Actually, why do you say it's the opposite of her character?
Because later on, she's more reckless.
Oh, well, yeah, but I thought you meant like how she says "leave me" because she does that a few times.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, like she's more like quoting the
the rules and regulations.
Yeah, yeah.
Later on, she becomes a lot more lax, and she's let's just skip over that.
Yeah,
because
this is still I don't think by episode 10 we even really have any solid Jadzia stuff other than like
no
other than has that, 7 lives.
Yeah, and Bashir's really intrigued by her, and she's Sisko's buddy, sort of.
Right, and even that they don't have 100% figured out.
Yeah,
I don't know if they ever really got that figured out throughout the entire series, like the whole.
There's not
Sisko
a lot of connection
and,
through those first episodes. It's more like Monster of the Week type thing.
It is.
Yeah.
And so, again, we give all you guys passes to a degree. Like, everyone's trying to figure it out, and this was basically a sandbox because it's like, none of this made sense to anybody. But so they pick her up, like, and so already the rules of that Shap are kind of weird. Mm-hmm. Then they're on this, like, outcropping of rocks, which it looks so bad because it's against this black background. I mean,
it's
Well, it's just a highlight of that season 1 terrible lighting.
Yes, exactly.
This is like because that cave is usually not that dark in other Next Gen Voyager. Like,
oh
yeah,
it's not.
So dark.
It is
lit.
Like black. Like you just barely see the color on the top of their uniform.
It's one of those tricks where it's like we only have like 4 feet of outcropping, so let's make everything really dark and say, oh my god, this cavern extends for miles. But you can't see it. They have one like matte shot, I think, or maybe it's a like CGI shot where they look and they throw a rock down there and it's like, oh, it goes on forever.
That seems pretty boring. Even reminiscing about it's made
it's
me
the
bored.
Low. I agree, like what you said, it's the low point. Like, because I
totally is.
I'm with it, and I remember both times I watched it in the last month. I tune out right there.
Because
like,
the episode to that point at least has been kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here's the problem with this is
they stay on that long before cutting back to Quark and Odo on that part too. Sorry.
And but like, what? Who does anything in that scene? either in the game or out of the game, right?
Yeah,
they're kind of hanging on those rocks, and then they all fall because they're not going to let anybody fall.
Yeah.
They all fall.
Now, is that, I forget, is that because of something Quark did or just based on them?
Well, because Quark had them do... Because
this is after the bagel.
Well, he rolled and then they ended up... Because he wanted to do the shortcut, so he got the hardest path.
Yeah.
So I think... So they got the hardest challenge.
So, oh, was that the... So they lose Bashir, but they still get to skip ahead to the hardest.
Yeah, and then it becomes like... It's weird because, like, the third chapter or the bad roll he has, the Thialo or whatever it is, means you have to sacrifice a character.
Right.
And then the fourth chap is also sacrifice a character.
Yeah.
Sacrifice two to make one go on. So again, the rules of the game are really, like, they've already, like, run out of rules. Like, oh, let's just do that again. And so, and then they don't really do that. Like, they don't, like, Jadzia is still with them.
Yeah, no, it's kind of confusing.
Yeah.
And then they fall.
And then they don't have the outfits they had prior to being teleported to the game.
Yeah.
So no pajamas there.
They're not in pajamas. They're now in their outfits again.
Yeah, that's so weird that their clothes
and tricorders! Why do they have the tricorders?
Why would you... Yeah, why would you...
It's frustrating.
So...
I do like the shot of them popping in the bar, though.
Yeah, and like when
they
made like,
it, they kind of made it seem too, like they drop a little, so they're everybody jump!
3, 2, 1, jump. You can see some like second director like, okay, jump. And then they all jump and like, okay, we'll just cut in there.
So bad.
So, and then basically everyone just moves along home because, because.
What happened to Jake? We don't know.
Yeah, Jake, not Jake's, Jake's dad.
No,
we don't know.
Been telling he just went about to bed. Women.
Yeah.
He's just jerking it.
Well, the whole Jake subplot of him learning about the birds and the bees from his dad is completely irrelevant.
He never learns,
which explains a lot about the rest
except
of his romantic relationship.
Except what Nog taught him, so Jake's probably having girls touch his ears.
Oh, exactly.
We do learn that Jake's 14 years old.
Oh, yeah.
And he already knows all about that stuff. Dad.
But I mean, like, think about it. Like, his dad never explained to him the birds and the bees, and look at his relationships through 7 years. They're not very good.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he really needed to give him that talk.
Well, what is...
Didn't he date a whore at some point? No, a dabble girl.
Wow.
I just remember it was like an older woman that was like a risque kind
of. Well, she
that may be, yeah.
he dates a Davo girl in the like season
3?
No, later.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
five,
that's right.
It wasn't
yeah.
that late. It
no,
because was...
it's, well, there's the, maybe it was, there was multiple. Because there's the Davo girl where, remember, it's when, this is at least season 6 when Nog loses his leg, and then he takes her on that date at Vic Fontaine's.
I think it's the same Davo girl.
Is it the same Davo girl? Is it the black Davo girl?
Maybe he's just dating all sorts of Davo girls.
Because that, I remember like a later season 1, and she...
Oh, that's like season 7 where he loses his leg. That's like the hit.
So, I don't remember girlfriends before that.
Yeah, no, he dated a Davo girl, because she was older.
Alright, so in 7 years, he dates like one Davo girl, you know? So basically, he goes down to Vegas.
No, you're right. There's two.
Two, okay.
Two
Davo
girls on this show, at least.
Okay. Still not a great track record. I gotta be honest with you. Like, if I was going 7 years and they had two dates, I would be mad at my dad.
In his defense, probably...
There were probably more dates. There were probably more off-screen dates.
Yeah.
He was probably also in the holodeck.
Oh, yeah.
All sorts of girls. And,
well, yeah, we'll put quotes on dating, won't we? Yeah, yeah.
I do like how Quark, early on in this episode, when the... I can't remember these guys' names.
Fallow. Yeah,
he's trying to when he gets caught cheating, actually.
Yeah, he tries to give him a free.
He's like, you got the holosuite. You guys like sex?
Oh yeah,
he just straight up says that's what the holosuite's for. He's like, you guys like sex?
That's true. God,
yeah,
it was always so couched, like.
That's like the. I think that's the only time I can remember them really being that obvious.
This is true. I mean,
can you imagine walking in and like seeing the room as it actually is with all the little squares and seeing someone just like
just fucking nothing.
Oh,
you
gosh.
See them just floating.
Well, standing in the middle of the room like,
I can't stop them.
These are all images,
yeah. Like? What are they?
If we're gonna be technical, you would see it.
You would see it, yeah. You're talking about like Oculus Rift. That's what's coming very soon. This is like in
that's
the vibe.
That was the
stage
of holodecks before it got to. The
this is what's
going to
happen in the next 10 years. Basically, we're all going to be like making all sorts of weird pantomime movements with glasses on. What are you doing? Like, oh nothing. Wow, okay. It's gonna be a rough like couple of decades. Gotta be honest with you guys.
Until we get to that holodeck.
Yeah.
And then it'll be all okay.
Yeah.
And then, you know, this will all be End Simulation, right?
Yeah, then we'll be Star Trek.
Yeah.
Finally. That's the goal, right?
Star Trek.
We just want to be Star Trek.
You know, they are coming out with the VR bridge simulator, I think it's Bridge Commander or something.
Oh, did it already come out?
No, it's a PS4 and PC exclusive where you put on the goggles and then multiple people can play at the same time and be at different stations.
Do you know if it's the Vive or the Oculus?
I don't know on the PC, but I know it's for PS4 only.
Oh, okay,
so
I see.
That. So yeah, but that is we're getting close now.
Now yeah.
I cannot wait to play.
I was playing the Justin Roiland's accounting game over at his headquarters over there.
So good, isn't it?
I was laughing. Well, see, that's the thing. I can't tell you because it ruins it. You got
to
play.
Oh yeah, you have to play it. It's really. We'll
start an accounting office, and then it goes.
That's it. We'll tell you off air. Yeah,
it feels so real.
It's really good. It's a really good game.
Real. Well, I was doing the doodling one, where you can doodle in 3D space. And I was going through the backgrounds, and I was like, I saw space. I was like, space would be cool. And I turned on space, and I looked down, and I took off that and threw it because it scared the shit out of me.
Yeah.
And I was like, there's nothing underneath me.
It's
terrifying. But it really tricks your
brain. Vive, on the Vive, it's so good. I mean, we had that, and I mean, it is going to change everything once people finally figure out. Have you done this stuff yet?
I've only done a really cheap one that was on a phone.
No,
Google Cardboard. No. You gotta get it, especially when you have the ones with the little paddles you can hold up and see in your vision. Oh, it's so good. All right, this is not Star Trek. We don't want to talk too much about that.
But it was influenced by Star Trek, probably.
This is true. Yeah, we are building holodecks right now. We will pretty soon podcasts will become irrelevant, but not today because this was a good one. I will say overall, I went into this episode with trepidation, and at first I was excited about it because I was like, oh, maybe this is better than I thought, right?
I'm sorry.
But by the time we hit the third shaft, man, it was all over. And then the fourth shaft, and it just, no one was the star of this episode.
Oh, yeah, no.
Nobody took command of it, and at the end, because I think we didn't say this, no one.
Well, I'm going to give it to Odo.
Well, I think Quark and Odo come out the best because at least they define their characters a little better.
Yeah.
But and they're trying to do something proactive.
But neither of them do anything which has any sort of consequence.
No.
We're all along the ride of this game.
Even Quark just gets a pass at the end.
He gets a pass.
Yeah.
He is not prosecuted. The Wadi don't get any trouble.
They kind of do that very often in the show where Quark, because it's they can't really send him to jail or anything. He always has to get out of it. Or I think there's a couple other times where they just don't settle it. They're Quark was a jerk.
The security officer got his ass handed to him. He's like,
well, yeah.
Is there some rule that says I can't go to the ship? And he's like, well, I'm not Starfleet. He's like, beam me out.
You don't have to worry about him anymore. He is off of the show from this point on.
Oh, thank God.
Poor James Lashley. Not his fault, but he is gone.
I hate you.
It's a good try.
No. We'll have him on. We'll have him on.
I like the effort he put up.
He did a good job.
He tried to get a job. I like it.
I've been working that.
I would like it if it was you. I'd be like,
oh. No, I
feel his character.
I'll dive back into my background because, I was on a TV show called The Invisible Man like 15, 16 years ago, and I was recurring, and I remember dealing with the leads, and I had this moment, the lead guy, I was supposed to not like him in the episode, but I thought, he's such a cool guy. I like him as a human being.
You like him too much.
And so I made a decision, screw it, I'm going to like this guy, and I'm not going to like his partner. And then from that point on, it was not in the dialogue, but I started being kind of like a dick to his partner and really digging the lead, the Invisible Man.
Yeah.
And they started writing for that. So this episode, I see the actors really trying on different hats of who they want to be.
Yeah.
And I think Odo and Quark figured it out.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody else was there, lost in the third chap. They were.
Kira's just lost in her fucking shoulder pads.
This is one of those ones where I don't feel like Avery Brooks didn't care. He actually seems lost in this one.
He doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah.
He was really hoping he'd go back to Spencer.
Sometimes you either get full Avery Brooks, he doesn't care. Yeah. Or, and then this is a rarer one where he's just kind of like,
he's so confused.
It's so funny watching him when he doesn't care. Oh. I find it hilarious.
I love the first two. I think not knowing what's going on is my least favorite Avery Brooks.
Well, but there's you get the B story though, where he's really excited about talking, you know, to a
new race.
Well, no, to his son. Because he always said he really wanted to portray, Avery Brooks wanted to portray, like, people of color, like a father figure with his son, like, having that relationship. Like, that was really important to him in the show, and so he really relished that moment.
And then they just do nothing
with it. And then, like, he gets this dude with a bumps on his head saying, move along home, and he's like, I don't know what the hell Alan Moraine means, you know, why can't I just, like, have, like, a pistol and shoot somebody, so...
Yeah, no, these episodes are just like you're patiently waiting for him to shave his head and grow a goatee. Yeah.
I know. It's like, all right.
When's he a captain?
Yeah, exactly.
It's not until he becomes a captain the show really starts to take off, and he really starts to figure it out. So, you guys have any other final thoughts about this before we move along out of this episode?
About this episode?
Yeah.
This is more thoughts than I ever thought we'd have. I'm amazed.
I don't, you know, I
really mind this one. I'm impressed with your question. You really found every tidbit you could about this one.
I haven't seen this in maybe 20 or 25 years, and it all came back to me, and it was just like, wow. Well, I mean, it was 93, I think.
We're
so
all dying.
It's like 24 years since it happened. So.
I mean, for all we know, people are listening to this in the future. 2013. And we're already all dead.
Jesus Christ.
I know. It's rough. I mean, the fact that, like, it's 51 years now for the original series and at least 26 or 27 for Next Generation.
Wait,
I think.
Oh, right. 50. When was that anniversary
TNG's,
episode?
TNG's 86.
86, so it's
Wait,
like 31 years.
Wait, is it 86
years.
Or 87?
It's 86 or 87. I think it's 87.
They had a lot of pre-production. It's hard to know when the first episode
was. I remember when they had the VHS for Star Trek IV come out.
Yeah.
And on it, they had a trailer for, you know, the new series from Gene Roddenberry, Star Trek, The Next Generation, with, like, that first, second season announcer guy.
Maybe they promoted it in 86 and it aired in 87.
I think so. Yeah. I think 86, 87.
It went
because
from 87 to, 93? Hmm. That makes sense, right?
Yeah.
7 seasons.
Yeah, 87 to 93, 86, 87.
Because they shot the first season in 86, but it didn't air until 87.
Yeah.
How long ago did we do the Vasquez Rocks episode?
That was September 8th? No, that was September...
That was just a few months ago.
Yeah.
So you said you were like 51 years. I was like, what is that, the 50?
Well, I'm flipping over now. I'm saying because we're in 2017, it's 51 years now. So, you know, I mean,
bad memory.
It's all right. It's okay. I'm here for you. I have a good memory about it.
I'm not really good at that, but I also was like, I remember, like, I had to shoot something once in September for Kate Freund at Vasquez Rocks, and I was like, yeah, no, that's going to be hot and gross. Nah.
I know, you didn't show up that.
I'm sorry.
It was kind of like perfect weather.
It was so nice.
It wasn't windy. We actually recorded really
well. I know. We had a great time.
Really well.
And then we went out for pizza afterwards.
Well,
the only food was one of the mics.
Oh my God.
Was weird, so we could only use one of the mics.
Yeah, one of the mics was kind of weird.
It was still good though. You could hear it.
The doctor's mic was terrible.
It turned out way better than, like, because I was worried. I was like, oh, this audio is going
to
be rough.
You know what you should do? Good. You should take a trek out to the Griffith Observatory, get Sarah Silverman on. Talk about that two-parter from Voyager.
Oh, this is true.
I'm down for that. We should all go to the Griffith Observatory.
That would be an amazing episode.
So maybe we'll have like an all skate for all our Voyager fans, because I'll get Nagata and George Edelman out there too. We'll all have like a round table.
That would be great.
At the Griffith Park, because that's the Griffith Park Observatory.
It's beautiful.
Is amazing. It's so beautiful. I love going out there.
Have a little picnic up there.
Have a little picnic. We'll sit around. We'll talk about that episode set in 1995, I believe. So that's a time capsule.
Oh, 96.
Is it 96?
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to, you might as well reach out to Ed Begley.
Oh, yeah, Ed Begley Jr.?
Well, can you do that? Can you guys get... I mean, why are you telling me this?
I don't know. Why not?
I mean, we have friends that are friends with Sarah.
We have
Sarah. That's doable. She's a bigger jerk.
I've stabbed her with a harpoon before.
I did go to a funeral with him once. I mean, I didn't go with him. He was sitting behind me.
I feel like he wouldn't be that hard to
I told you about this. The guy who... he was the Klingon in the original series, Mike Pataki. He was a... The Enterprise should be hauled away as garbage.
You know that guy?
Well, I knew him. He's dead.
Oh, damn it.
He would have 1,000% been on this.
God. He's lifetime. So good.
Oh, yeah. I hung out with him a bunch. He's insane.
Should be all the way as garbage. He's dead now?
Oh, yeah. He died of cancer. He had cancer, then it came back. It was really sad. But he was amazing. And he had so many cool stories. And he was really good friends with Chekhov.
Was he?
Yeah, he did some indie film and he forced Chekhov to be in it. It was awful.
Oh, God. Oh, that's so great. Wow. What did he say about doing that role? What did he talk about it or no?
Oh, yeah, no, he did. He said he had a great time because he was just getting along with all of them. It was like a party.
Oh, he absolutely. That guy was.
He's amazing.
He just didn't give a shit. He was he would he dropped into like that weird Russian accent. Klingon doing a Russian accent. He's like, Laddie, or maybe it was like Scottish, but he's like, Laddie, don't you think you should apologize? He's like, you're right, I should. You know, he's like, what are you doing, Klingon?
He's like the best dick ever.
He was so good, and he just like you want to punch that guy, but at the same time.
We could talk about that DS9 episode. The Trouble Tribbles episode.
Oh, yeah.
We can talk about that. We'll talk about that one for another day.
You need a whole episode.
You get Bowser on. Talk about Mike Patak. He also was very close.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, because he was a voice actor. He did George Licker on Ren Stimpy.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow.
So I recorded him a few times.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, then we definitely, yeah. You know, I just talked with the guy, this guy right here. I have his, if you're paying attention, I have
eyeballs are broken.
Lev Mailer, his autographed card now sitting on my wall here. It says, for Mike, Ralph Maurer, Festival. I'm so excited. It's sitting there. That guy, he came on and talked.
Oh, cool.
So cool. And I need to talk to these people because they're in their 70s and
80s. Oh, yeah, they're dying.
Well they're forgetting important things. So we're going to put it that.
I don't even remember what I did 2 hours ago. So
exactly,
I don't blame
exactly.
Them.
So the fact that people remember this stuff is great. So, all right, let's put a cap on this one. This was a great episode. I'm so excited you guys were here. I know it's
thanks
been
for
a
having us.
Yeah,
no, it's so good. And make sure you buy Callie's cards.
Yes.
And
please.
I'll try to get your name spelled right on the web.
I'll yell at Dustin again.
Well, no, I put that in there, so it's me.
No, but I like to blame you for not fighting.
Please blame Dustin. Yeah, he's just the owner of Feral. But thank you so much for listening. This has been great. We're gonna be doing more Deep Space Nine, more Voyager, more TNG. We're gonna be plowing through all this stuff. We're gonna have these guys around more, and I appreciate it. And I appreciate you guys. And I'm Mike McCafferty.
I'm Brian.
Oh, I'm Callie. Sorry, I'm dead.
And I just want to talk about
Star Trek. Oh, see, you were pointing at him. Distract
sequence completed and engaged.
Error, flaw, imperfection.
When the train comes in, everybody rides.
Blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah. No, blah, blah, blah.
Your daddy can put them up, can he?
I'll never cheat again. Please. Just don't make me do this. Anything but this. Please. Please! 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 Please!
Please. Oh. Let's say Seinfeld was on an island. Yeah. And he was blowing Boris Karloff. What would that be like?
And it might go something like this. Oh, Mr. Karloff, I loved you in Frankenstein, and I love giving you a blowjob. Why, Mr. Seinfeld, I love having you